Holy Monday, March 25th, the year of our Lord, 2024. It is Holy Monday, meaning 3 days before the Last Supper, 4 days before Good Friday, 6 days before Easter Sunday, 2024. And parish orphans and retrogrades, Christ is King. That means He is our King. He is King of Kings, King of the universe. This topic busted into the mainstream when I was in Washington, D.C. I was in Washington, D.C. doing TimCast, which was fun. It was actually a culture war episode of Tim Pool. Go see that if you haven't. It was supposed to be a debate with Rolla Tomasi. I'll be doing review notes tomorrow night on Avoiding Babylon with my friends Anthony and Rob. I won't say too much about it now, but I was there when Tim Pool came in the room and we were about to start. It was supposed to be a debate with Rolla. It was more like everyone agreeing, but if anything, a debate with Tim. But he came in, and before we rolled the tape, he said, "Oh, Candace Owens is gone from Daily Wire." And it has a lot to do with this topic. Now, as someone who's a 43-year-old Catholic, cradle Catholic, it's pretty interesting, isn't it, that anytime the topic comes up, folks nowadays, as Christ the King bursts back onto the mainstream scene, people assume that it has something to do with being a young Christian white male and trolling and sticking your thumb into the eye of non-Christians or needling opponents. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I want to talk all about how and why it has been characterized this way. I mean, if this really has anything, even something tangential to do with Candace Owens leaving a major network, then holy cow, how? This is a Christian nation. How? How could this be controversial at all? So over the last 3 days, from Saturday to Sunday, which was Palm Sunday, and really the end of Palm Sunday begins Holy Week, into Holy Monday today, conservatives have all been giving their perspective on what does Christ the King mean. And this is stupid. It's stupid. Now, you're saying I'm just giving another perspective on it. I'm not. This is just the timeless perspective, the undeniable claim that any Christian has on making as an evangelical Christian, a member of the evangelical faith that's supposed to be global, Christianity. We have an eternal claim on saying this. Christ is King of Kings. King of Kings. Wow. So it's stupid for folks to say, and you know, you probably know who most of the folks are who say this, but all secularists cast this as some sort of troll move to declare on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or to say it loud in a crowded movie theater, Christ is King. They will cry out as they strike you. They'll say, "You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say Christ is King." The specific tort they allege, breach they allege of good faith, is that's anti-Semitic. Well, here, today's video, in the wake of all of this, on Holy Monday of all days, is it anti-Christian to allege that saying Christ the King is anti-Semitic? And the answer is yes. Because many of these conservatives that tried to have an interesting or a nuanced or a hot take on Christ is King would say, well, no, it's not if you say it in the proper context. It's not anti-Semitic. It's not at all. But there's a way you can do it that's anti-Semitic. And I just say, no, 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 no. Now, there are some people that might mean it that way, people that don't go to church on Sunday, haven't been to confession in years, that don't care much about Easter or fasting or celibacy or what the sacraments point us toward or self-denial, self-abnegation. They wouldn't know what the liturgy of the hours is. They wouldn't know what the litany of the saints is. They don't understand the disciplines of the church. Why did priests ever wear the tonsure or monks? What is that? That's weird. If you think any of these metrics are strange or foreign, but you're still saying Christ is king, well, then you're just a poser. It still doesn't make it anti-Semitic, but you're just a poser. If you don't go to church and receive communion on Sunday and go to confession and you're still saying Christ is king, then what the hell? But who cares about that? I'm concerned with the Christian conservatives out there. I saw a million of them on Twitter that are like, well, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Well, this reflects a deep running anti-Catholicism in American culture. Forget anti-Semitism. That's made up. We have a deep hatred of papism, of the papists in American culture. And that's what's at work. Clearly operative for all to see when people even debate whether or not saying that the key proposition of Roman Catholicism, that Christ is king, is or can be construed as anti-Semitic. That's wild. I have a few perspectives on it that I think should clarify just how anti-Christian it is to say that uttering Christ is king is anti-Semitic. This is classic. They're crying out like victims as they strike you, the Christian. That's what society does writ large. They're crying out as they strike you, the Christian. Okay, well, first off, so if you want to support this channel, you got to like this video. You have to subscribe to this channel. You got to click the notification bell. We're growing, and we're growing kind of slowly, and that's always how I wanted to do it, but we need to grow a little bit faster. I have a lot of projects coming out in 2024, and we got to hit 100K. That's the next goal. Okay, I've never talked about goals in terms of viewership because it's lame, and it's all that 95% of YouTubers think about. They don't think about their content qua QCing for quality. They think about their content qua QCing for popularity, which just means they're selling, you know, Zog Slop. Whatever you guys want to see, I'll do. You want to see me kiss a pig? I'll do that. You want to see me drink some household chemicals swirled up into a mash? I'll do that. Whatever's going to, I just never bother with that. But we hit the 50K mark. I'd like to hit the 100K mark. So like, subscribe, click the notification bell. Please, please, please leave a comment. Also, we need you to support this channel. There's two ways to do it. Locals and Subscribestar connected to the video. If you want to donate to me and my family, people know the story with Abigail. That's mainly the cause. That's different. Go to timothyjgordon.com and click donate. But Locals and Subscribestar help how we keep the lights on here. Secondly, if you want to support yourself in this general election year, even though no one really cares because it's all fake, go to realestateforlife.org. Get out of your red state. Get out of your blue state. Get to a red state today. I haven't been saying it as much lately, so I'm not as in practice. Get out of your blue state. Get to a red state today. It's precisely what I did when I was essentially forced out of the state of California, more or less, by Black Lives Matter. I knew what I would do. I had a go plan. I had a bug out plan. That's what you should do too. This section of the country is a forested sort of Neverland that never changed. American values are still alive and well here. They're Protestant values, but they're Christian. You take the bad with the good. Finally, I plug Greco gum. I drove all the way to Washington, D.C. and all the way back in 2.5 days. I was absolutely exhausted. If you saw me on Culture War with Tim Pool and Rollo Tomasi, I was exhausted. I got like 3 hours of sleep the night before. I got like 4 the night before that and 4 or 5 the night after. I'm a little well rested now. But what I was doing the whole way out there, along with driving out with my pal Nick, Wonderkind director Nick Stumphauser, who came out there with me. He was going to get some footage for What a Woman Is, but we said, no, we'll chill. He still came out with me. I was chewing Greco gum. Helped me to regulate whatever it does for the gut. Good things. And builds the jaw muscles. So check out Greco gum online. It's good. They support good causes, generally speaking. And it's mastic gum from only one place in Greece. It's great. Greco gum. It's not as tasty as like Big Red, but you're working out your jaw muscles, then it's like working out your face. It's great. Okay, so it's anti-Christian to say that Christ is king is an anti-Semitic trope. It's that simple. It cannot by its nature be anti-Semitic to say the central proposition of Christianity. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's point number one. Point number two to take away. I want you to think about it. We have an evangelical global faith, Christianity. The great mission, the great commission of Christ to his followers was spread the good news all over the globe to Jew and Gentile alike. Announce, essentially, that I am king of the Jews, king of the Gentiles. That is the charge for Christians. That is what Christians believe. And missiologically, meaning that which is bound up in our mission, we must proclaim what we believe as praxis. It's both what we believe and what we believe is that we must spread our beliefs. So it's like a meta belief system that is encapsulated by what we call evangelization.
I find it interesting that they're trying to make just proclaiming the truths of our faith anti-Semitic. We can't even just be Catholics and just say Catholic things without being anti-Semitic. And it's so silly. It's like, okay, if that's the case, if that's what you want to say about us, then fine. I'm not going to not say the truth just because you want to slap whatever irrational label you want to it. It's ridiculous. You're not going to shame us or scare us from proclaiming the truths of the one true faith.
Yeah, if it is, it is. I don't even know what the term means anymore, but here that's Steph is really capturing the essence of it. You really got it there. She's doing this puzzle our friend Cheryl gave us. Thank you, Cheryl. Steph's like fast mind with puzzles, and it's supposed to take hours. She's supposed to take like 100 hours. She's going to have it done in like 10. But it's an evangelical global faith, which is circumscribed by the Great Commission. Spread the gospel all around the world that Christ is king, that Christ is God, the God King. And you do it to Jew and you do it to Gentile. So in evangelical faith like Christianity, there is no other one like Christianity, but I'm just trying to make it like a genus. It's sui generis, but I'm talking about it like a genus. It cannot comfortably coexist with other faiths. That's all this is pointing out, is it not, Stevie? If other people are going to start crying out as they strike us, I don't know who I'm talking about here, just anyone that says it's anti-Semitic, they cry out as they strike us for just saying, hey, yeah, all the other faiths are false. All the other faiths need to submit to Christ. None of the other ones besides modern day Judaism are just like, oh, that's just what Christians say. No big deal. We're not going to claim that that's anti-Hindu to say Christ is king. Listen to the way that the Judaism makes claims as if it's specifically oriented to them. Now, they most specifically reject and rejected Christianity. Think about the history of what some call Judeo-Christianity. So it's most specifically, historically, contingently circumscribed by the type typological connection between the Old and New Testament. But it's quite interesting, is it not, that of all the other world faiths to whom we announce Christ as King, there's only one that is so anti-Christian that they say you shouldn't be allowed to do it unless you utter it perfectly.
Well, again, I mean, the Jewish people were the original Christ deniers. I mean, that is the truth.
Yeah. So, I mean, then that's kind of what I meant about specifically, historically, contingently. Not all of them. Many of them accepted the gospel and became Christian, but then most of the rest rejected it. And so St. Paul said, you know what? I'm done trying to evangelize our people that kind of had a leg up, a sneak preview on this thing. I'm taking it to the Gentiles. What's St. Paul's patronymic? The evangelist of the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles. Why? Because he was so fed up with the rejections that he was receiving. This is kind of like, and I've done this a lot over the last months. Take an idea to a number of folks, and you're like, look, this is a good idea. This is $1 million idea, maybe $1 billion idea. You want it? You have the first pass at it. And they say, no, I don't want it. You're like, okay, screw y'all. I'm taking it to the world. And to some extent, just if you want a further analogy, this is how myself and Steph and our friends who help us, like Nick and others, who help us get the ideas off the ground in multimedia format, have felt about Catholicism to some extent and the ideas of, and new, not really new ideas, ideas that should be endemic to it about patriarchy and anti-feminism. I have friends that have been on this show that have a really cool system, and they tried to sell it to sort of the Catholics first. Look, this is a cool personality typing Thomistic system. And if the Catholics aren't interested in it, then it's like, forget this. I'll take this secular. Well, that was St. Paul's relationship with the Jews. He's like, you guys, because of the Old Testament, which is true gospel, the Jewish part of the Bible, not the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. That's a whole other ball of yarn. But the Old Testament, that's real. You guys have the first pass of this thing. You get the sneak preview. You get to get in this excellent $1 trillion business on the ground floor. A trillion trillions. More valuable than a $1 trillion business. Soteriologically, the key, salvation. You get to get in on the ground floor. And some of them said, cool, we will be the first apostles. We will be the first bishops. We will be the first evangelists. Dope. They become Christians. That's like the apostles, and a larger group than the apostles are just known as the disciples. But most of the folks, and remember, there's a difference between Judea and Galilee, and of course, Samaria, which was between them. It's not exactly the same tribes. But some folks accepted the message, even some Samaritans, right? And most of them rejected it. So St. Paul said, I'm taking this to the world. This is a globalist faith. And ironic is that of all of the world faiths that didn't even have the chance to get in on the ground floor, they never, ever, ever are the ones to complain about us saying Christ is King. It's always either secularists or folks who allege anti-Semitism. I can't remember who that would be. And there's this close connection between the secularists and the folks that allege it's anti-Semitic. So it just goes to show this principle that evangelical global faith like Christianity, one of a kind, cannot comfortably, I'm not saying it can't be done, I'm not saying it can't be done peaceably. It can. It can't be done comfortably. It can't coexist with whatever faiths would charge anti-blank against Christianity for simply saying that which we must say to be good Christians, Christ is King. It is precisely because some faiths are extra cloistered, extra non-evangelical. I don't know whether to call them faiths or what. But they're the ones that say precisely this. Christ is King is anti-blank. Well, I say it's truly anti-Christian to say that Christ is King is anti-Semitic. What do you say, Steph?
I would just say to Clavin, who made this claim, it's a very silly claim. I don't understand the argument that because some people, which is what I guess he would say, with bad intentions, say a truthful statement, the truthful statement thereby should not be said. I mean,
he didn't say it needed to be said. He said, therefore, the truthful claim, as simple as it is, in all its vast simplicity, must become a conditional claim or modified. That's what he seemed to say.
But I mean, take anything true with the faith. If somebody with ill intention says the real presence is true and the Eucharist is the body and the blood of Christ, you could, like, are we not allowed to say that? Like, just because a group of people that, you know, somebody, if Clavin didn't like a certain group of people and they started making that their rallying cry, is that now not allowed to be said? Or just, you know, any of the truths of the Catholic faith?
Yeah, this you were making this point really strongly this morning, Steph, over coffee. We were sitting here talking about it the way we do. And it's like, look, there are douchebags that say all true things. To be perfectly clear, here's the litmus test for whether you're one of those douchebags saying a true thing, Christ is King. If you tweeted out regularly, Christ is King, and you don't go to church on Sunday, you haven't received the sacrament, you're not in a state of grace, or haven't been in a state of grace for, let's say, a year, you haven't been to confession for that long, you never read scripture, never read papal encyclicals, don't know what's going on in Christianity in the world, don't have a prayer routine, now, even if it's brief, don't know, you know, can't name all 12 apostles. What I don't know what it is. There are basic litmus tests for you're a douche if you're saying this. Now, I'm not saying you're anti-Semitic. That's just something that those people tend to like to say about anything that constitutes a bold declarative statement by a Christian on behalf of Christendom. They'll say that's not anti-Semitic. It's just, you're a poser. You're a douche. Go to church. The same shit I was saying to Rollo and Tim Pool. I'm like, look, man, I don't know what all this nonsense about high divorce rates are. Well, did you know Christians have high divorce rates too? Well, yeah, trad Catholics are mostly feminist. But if you reject the feminism, if you pray 7 minutes a day together with your spouse, you know what the real practical statistics say? 1,151 times out of 1,152, real statistic, you will not get a divorce. There's like 99.9% chance of not getting a divorce if you just follow this simple step. And then, like, everyone was like, well, what if there's a couple that wants to, this is an extended analogy, what if there's a couple that wants to not get a divorce, but they, you know, which is a trapping of Christendom. You could get married, but you don't have matrimony unless you're a Christian. Jews and Muslims, they look at this as a petty contract, and they regard marriage as a petty contract. If you want to guarantee that you don't get a divorce, guess what? You need to enter into holy matrimony, which was elevated to the dignity of a sacrament by Jesus Christ at the wedding feast of Cana. You get special graces. Now, if you want that benefit, you have to pay the burden, the statistics really and truly show, of 7 or 8 minutes of prayer together with your spouse daily. And, you know, if you haven't watched the Tim Pool thing, I'm kind of reiterating, Tim was like, well, but what if people don't want to do that? He just couldn't get around that. Well, then, I don't know, then you'll get a divorce. I'm surprised the divorce rate isn't like 99% for douchebags that want to be married and don't even pray. Christianity is conservatism, people. Christianity, and when I say Christianity, I mean Roman Catholicism, that which built the West. It's time for people to convert in droves. Let's make it happen. You want a good wife? Become a Catholic. And I'm not saying that feminism has an infiltrated Roman Catholicism. I mean, become a Catholic and go find a good wife. Find a Protestant, make her Catholic. Find an Orthodox, make her Catholic. I guess find a Catholic and make her Catholic. If find a Catholic and make her not a feminist. She might have a prayer routine, but she's probably a feminist. You want to succeed at evangelization because Jesus charged not just the bishops, but also the priests and the laity of the Great Commission? You want to succeed? Become a Catholic. You want to say the true thing? Oh, I want to say Christ is King on my Twitter account. Cool. Just make sure you're in a state of grace. It's Holy Week, for heaven's sakes. You're in a state of grace. You go to confession semi-regularly. You go to Mass once a week. You don't always have to receive the Eucharist. I don't like to when I go to Novus Ordo, me say. But go to Mass once a week. Go to confession semi-regularly, as regularly as you need, as your mortal sin habits require. And now you can say Christ is King. And guess what? There is no set of conditions, suite of ideas, by which Andrew Clavin can say you're an anti-Semite. None. None. There are none. Even if you're one of those posers, it's annoying. I don't like all the poserdom of folks online saying this just because it's become a little trendy to say. I like that it's trendy to say, but get your ass to church. Receive the sacraments. Get yourself into a state of grace. I mean, what more do you need? Look at the world. Jesus is coming back, likely soon, or quite possibly soon. No one knows the hour. Announce him publicly. That is part of what we must do. But first, you must be in a state of grace and customarily reject mortal sin as you go.
Who are these people who, when they get charged with a claim, if you say X, then you're Y, just fall in line and just abide that.
Right.
What I find interesting to me is that any popular talking head can come out there and say, if you proclaim the truth, then you are labeled something nasty. And you have practicing Catholics and Christians out there being like, I guess I can't say Christ is King anymore. It's unbelievable. Christ is going to require all of us to, our very lives might be called to defend Christ's name. But these Catholics and Christians, they can't even abide being called a nasty name.
Well, I don't.
It's weak.
It is weak.
It's just because somebody says you're saying something hateful, it's like, okay, they can. That's fine. Like, I'm not that upset by that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said earlier. Okay, maybe it is anti-blank. Maybe it's not. I don't care. Same as, I kind of hate it. I try to reverse their judo throw. Yeah. I'm like, well, it's anti-Christian to say that saying Christ is King is anti-Semitic. And I'm supposed, boom, does that pack that punch? No, because no one gives a care in the world whether or not we were like, oh, this is anti-Christianity because there's not all the cultural media, government, globalist conditioning, top-down conditioning that makes people run in fear of being called an anti-Christian. Like, oh, yeah, it's anti-Christian. You take that. So when we try to reverse their judo throw and be like, that's what I tried to do with the title of this video, condemning Christ the King as anti-Semitic is anti-Christian. I'm like, I want that to be a, but it's not. It's only considered a gambit in the public sphere, out at a Starbucks patio or out on the internet to say anti-Semitic. And that tells you a lot. That tells you quite a bit. To be a Christian the way we're supposed to be a Christian is held out as anti-Semitic. Same thing when Mel Gibson's true expression, beautiful expression, but true, very historically accurate expression of The Passion of the Christ, which we're going to watch on in 3 days on Holy Thursday. Not my favorite film to watch because it's intense, but not fun, but beautiful. We watch it every Holy Thursday with all the kids. That was called anti-Semitic just for depicting John's gospel. If it is, I don't deny it. Doesn't mean it's not true. And the thing is, I don't know. I'm glad that Andrew Klavan has nominally become, I guess a Christian, if you call a Protestant that. But it's weird to still identify as like a person of the book, person of the Old Testament, which he did. It's weird to say that many folks who are saying Christ the King are anti-Semites. It's odd that he denies that abortion is murder. He says abortion is not murder. And obviously there are some biographical details that make the claim on Christianity tough. Now, we all have to struggle with things like that, having a son or a daughter who have made seriously, seriously awful life choices. So I pray for him, and God is good, but we need to convert Klavan to Roman Catholicism. When someone converts to true Christianity, Roman Catholicism, I mean, you're going to Latin Mass, you're doing the thing, you're going to confession, you have to make a very, very conscious, deliberate, intentional choice to say, oh, I have to repudiate sin even in terms of formal cooperation. I can't even go to this or that wedding. I can't condone this or that dimension of porneia, you know, L or G or B or T. Oh, wow. Protestants, the reason that it's so easy for them to be like, oh, I still identify as, I was raised in the Middle East. I still identify as Muslim in a lot of ways. I still identify as Jewish. I still identify as Buddhist. You can do that when you're a Protestant. You can't do that when you're a Roman Catholic. So I'm glad that he's accepted Jesus. I hope he gets it. He doesn't seem to get it. Abortion is definitely murder. You can't cooperate in mortal sin, formally or material. You should try not to do it materially, but you definitely can't do it formally in your son's mortal sin. I'm just running down the line. Okay, what are the truths? I have friends of the Daily Wire, but it's just like, look, you got to say what you got to say. I was watching, Jim Bob? Now, on this little clip, he was talking about all of this, you know, Klavan, Candace Owens, I guess Taylor Marshall's take on it. And he had the right view. It's just like, you can't, I'm not trying to poke anyone in the eye. You know, some of these little 20-year-olds that say Christ is King and don't go to church, it's not anti-Semitic. I don't care about that. That's the last thing I care about. But they're definitely being posers. And they're being trolls in some sense, but who cares? That's definitely not what I'm doing. That's definitely not what this channel Rules for Retrogrades does. We go all the way to the max. Any proposition we see out to the end. I mean, like, people were telling me when I was in the castle, as they call the Timcast studio, where it's a house. It's a big house. They're telling me, wow, you know, like, you were arguing a lot. I was like, I mean, look, it was friendly. But I'm just one of these guys, any conversation's a potential debate, and I don't get mad. I never get mad. But any conversation's a potential debate. If someone says, hey, I agree with you, you know, girls are no good at sports, and sports are fundamentally masculine. But then they reverse course and they say, but I mean, would you tell your girls not to play sports as your dad? I was like, well, of course. I'd also tell them not to run into the street. They're like, oh, well, they're not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Well, yeah, I'm not saying that if you play sports, a car will run over you and squish your liver. I'm saying one, it presents a moral and spiritual danger, and the other one presents a bodily danger. And, you know, if Tim's pretending not to get that, it's like, okay, would you tell your son not to wear a dress? Because that's not going to be a car that squishes your liver. No, right? That presents a moral and spiritual danger. The son acting like a woman, somehow we tell our sons to avoid behaviors like wearing a dress that make them feminine. We don't tell our daughters to avoid, or you guys, largely don't. I do. Tim was surprised by the expression of the fact that I tell my daughters to avoid the equivalent of what would be my son putting on a dress. Yeah, you don't do male things. Do female things. I'm a father. I'm not afraid of the opprobrium of the world. I'm not. I've struggled with lots of things in my life. Everyone's got phobias that come in and out. Not afraid of the opprobrium of the world. And we need more Christian, we need more Catholics that do that. So many of the other Catholics are just afraid of the condemnation. Let's be honest. Want to make nice with Protestants, want to make nice with the other Abrahamic faiths, want to make nice with this group or that group. I don't want to be at war with anyone. I really don't. I got a laziness streak, and I like doing things the easy way, but I'm not going to do it on principle. If I'm going to cut a corner, I'm going to cut a corner on praxis, how to get a job done. If you can get it done in, you know, 1/5 of the work, do that. I'm never going to cut a corner on principle. And that means any conversation I'm part of is subject to debate. And that's the truth here about Christ as King. He's definitely King. It's 100% never anti-Semitic to say. Sometimes posers will say it and then they don't even believe it in their hearts. But that just makes them posers. That doesn't make it anti-Semitic. And I'll say it to anyone.
But like assuming, let's just assume that it is anti-Semitic. The proper response to that is just neat. Okay, anyway, Christ is King. Like what was most alarming about this whole interchange on Twitter was that the weakness of Christians. Yeah. How many Christians are just pathetic? Like they can be called a name and they'll shy away from saying something as fundamental as Christ is King. It's so embarrassing. Sometimes, guys, it's really embarrassing to be a Christian, to see how other Christians respond to just name calling. I don't know what has happened in the last several generations since the boomers, but being called racist or sexist or misogynist or anti-Semitic, it's very effective with some weak-minded people.
I mean, people in the chat, I'm asking you honestly, everyone in the chat right now, say yes or no, be honest. Do you care if someone calls you a racist or an anti this or an anti that, anti Semite? Are you anti black? I sincerely have never cared. Do you? Yes or no? Just say, and you can give a little explanatory statement. No, I don't. I really don't care. Yes, I do a little bit. I've struggled with it. I do or I don't. Remember that first time we went to Italy? We were leaving out of LAX with all of my extended family. And there was like, this is before I was political. There's some crazy black guy. I don't know what he was doing, but he was like, you crazy crackers. And I was like, hey, crazy black guy. He looked like he'd never been. I was just like,
I think you said something a little bit more colorful than that to him, but he was calling you like a crazy cracker. And you came back at him with calling him a crazy something or another.
I don't remember what this.
And the look on his face, you could tell it had never. And not only has it never happened to him, but it never even occurred to him that a white guy would treat him with the same disdain.
I was like, what's up? What's up now? I just remember going, what's up now, man? Yeah, I could play that game too. And you, by the way, only one of us is crazy. And it's the more melanated one. Yeah. It's not me. I'm just trying to go to Italy with my, we took that limo to the.
Yeah, he was being, just for context,
airport.
The guy was being, he was clearly on drugs or something, and he was being like.
He asked us for money.
He was trying to cause a fight, like outside of the
LA. Asked us for money. We're like, no, thanks, have a nice day. And then he's like, crazy crackers. Then we're like, I was like, hold on, you guys go on. I'm going to deal with this.
You're like, I'm going to be talking this, to this guy for this.
I look, like I say, this is all my life, even when I wasn't, you know, believing Catholic. I was a catechized Catholic, and I'm not afraid to stand up for what's right. I'm not afraid to tell, like, look, these red pill guys, look, man, all that manner of porneia, premarital sex, it's all LGB, whatever. It is. It all is. Oh, and by the way, since we're kind of talking about that crew, so there's this clip on the Timcast culture war where I said, you know, basically all these things are Skittles. The Skittles cruiser of San Francisco lifestyle is being sold to straights. you know, all manner of porneia, contraception, abortion, you know, premarital sex, and it's all LMNOP Skittles. And a number of NJF's devoted fandom. Well, yeah, he said that first. Oh, no, bro, I'm 43 years old. And no offense to anyone, I like NJF. Zero problems and like him. But come on, I'm a lot older. I've been saying this since I don't know, I was in eighth grade.
Well, when I met you at 18, you were saying this.
Yeah.
So just do the math on that.
Do the
You're
math.
You're 43 years old. You've been saying this since 18.
I'm an old guy. And by the way, I don't watch anyone else's content. I see clips on Twitter and I'll like it or something. I'll like clips I see from that particular individual all the time. That doesn't mean I watch the whole show. I like what I see. I like the turn that that individual has taken the last 2 or 3 years, I think. Maybe it's a little more than three, but the last 2 or 3 years really talking about Christ as King, that's based. Done a ton of good work, brought a ton of these young people to Jesus. That's awesome. That's so cool. Great. Not a word. I mean, we're still supposed to have a talk about one big elephant in the room. Views of the Civil War and the 14th Amendment and substantive due process and subsidiary. That's our biggest area of disagreement. And that's going to happen at some point on Rumble. But I got nothing negative to say. However, it's annoying when the fans are out there like wanting attribution for saying lasagna is delicious. I said that. Well, guess what, my guy? There, yes, he's a bold, intrepid individual, but so am I, and I'm an older one. I'm not saying he copied me when he said lasagna is delicious. He thought of that himself because he's bright and bold. But I'm bright and bold too, and I'm old, bright and bold, and I've known that lasagna is delicious for a long time. It would be kind of like saying, "Oh, he said Christ is King." We Christians have been saying that since they nailed the headboard into the cross, and we made that one of the holiest relics. You can go see it, Santa Croce in Jerusalem. I used to live right near. You can go see that INRI sign, and it's true. Christ is the King of the Jews. Christ is the King of the Gentiles. I love the work that anybody is doing when they say that sincerely, which Mr. NJF, I believe, is. But just don't tell me I'm copying. I don't really watch full shows of any other content.
Can I just say something too about that crowd and that group? I appreciate, by the way, the young men's fire for just not giving a damn what people think about them and just saying this is what we think and Christ is King. Like I appreciate that.
Of course.
My goodness, do we need that in older generations?
They're also good on feminism, by the way. I mean, they're also kind of the only support, Steph, you and I had on early on, not from trad Catholics. I mean, I don't mean retrogrades, which tend to be trad Catholics, but you guys are a niche within a niche, Parish Orphans and retrogrades. I mean, broader trad Catholics, the more establishment trad Catholics, you know who I'm talking about, had no support. No support. Had mostly... mostly tension, pushback.
Got banned from so many platforms. Like
yeah.
What people would consider to be traditional Catholic platforms, they will not have us. If
right.
You see like a woman's traditional women's conference, I will not be invited.
Yeah.
If there's a traditional men's conference, Tim will not be invited.
Right.
Even among traditionalists, like your stance on
right.
Anti-feminism, no support.
Well, especially among traditionalists.
Yeah.
They're feminists. They're feminists. And it's guys that they know to wear the ill-fitting suit and grow a beard. They're usually not fit. The husband or the wife, they're angry if you say, look, husbands and wives should be reasonably fit, even into their 50s. They get threatened. Say, look, the suit's not as important as filling it out with some muscle if you're a man. Or some tone if you're a woman. They don't like that. Oh, but I've had 7 kids. Well, so is Steph. You got to work. Well, I have a beard. That makes me traditional. No, it's not. Usually it's hiding a weak chin, my guy. I don't care whether you grow a beard or not. I care whether you got a chin or not. Again, chew Greco gum and lift weights. Lift heavy every day. So we didn't get a lot of support there. that's outside of the retrograde group within a group. But there's a lot of support from this group of angry young, you know, Caucasian men, but correct about so many things. And feminism was another thing. So a lot of the crew out there, the NGF crew, AF crew, have been right for you know, I'd say a long time, but they're young guys, have been right from the beginning about feminism and about Christ is King. Well, that's been a bigger rallying cry of theirs for the last 2 or 3 years. And about what else? What else were we saying? I mean, there's a lot of overlap. Just don't. It's very, very annoying. And it
America first, all that stuff.
Yeah. It's very, very annoying when, you know, you're a kind of, you know, not getting long in the tooth, but I'm 43 and I've been saying what I've been saying for quite a while. And for 6 years, I've been taking on my own audience, Taylor's own audience on, now we got to say things more boldly. And they're like, no, you have to, you should say a rosary for them and all this. I'm like, well, I do in my off time, but also we got to say things the manly way, which is not always polite. It doesn't make all of the young trad women or middle-aged trad women feel super comfortable if they're used to kind of being the cock of the walk in their homes, which women are nowadays. That, you know, so that's the thing. So I'll just say there's a lot of natural overlap between myself and that group, and that's why there are a lot of those people in this audience. And just don't stir up needless trouble by alleging that I'm watching content that I don't even have the time. I support that content, but I don't have the time to be watching and saying, you know, lasagna is delicious or Christ is King or, you know, premarital sex is for the Skittles cruiser lifestyle, not for straights. Straight young, particularly white, but I mean straight young Christian, Mexican, white, black, whatever, Filipino Americans who are Catholics. For us, for all of us, the majority of them are whites in America, but I'm for Catholics. I'm for Catholics. And we say that premarital sex stuff is deadly toxic poison. I mean, this is what I wanted to debate Rollo about, but he was conforming pretty hard to the Christian truths. A lot of people noticed that. Rollo was, he was trying to just, you know, let's focus on where we're alike. Okay, cool. I can do that. That's the easy way. I like taking the easy way, but I came there for a debate. I'd like to have that. And I appreciate that this crew has been good on that issue and on Christ is King the last couple, 3 years. So God bless them, man. And I think it's really, really important that we get this stuff out in the open. And, you know, Candace Owens is leaving Daily Wire after months of saying stuff more the way I would say it, or you might hear one of the AF people saying it, and she wasn't trying to poke anyone in the eye. She's just like, look, I'm a Christian. Now, if Candace is listening, or George, her husband, is listening, I like you guys. Candace, you got to become Catholic. Can we just say that, please? George Farmer, very, very dapper, awesome-seeming dude. You got to become Catholic. I'm hearing this talk. Catholic. Candace Owens did a tweet like, I'm, you know, one day away from becoming Orthodox. No. If you look, most of us don't love Pope Francis in the Catholic Church. Yeah, he's liberal. But you know why he's liberal? Because he's copying the Orthodox on all these sex issues. Literally, Cardinal Casper gets it all directly out of the internal forum from the Orthodox churches. If you don't like Francis, you got to be Catholic. Ironically,
it would be super base too for Candace, who's been great on this stuff, just to say, not only am I leaving Daily Wire, but I'm also just leaving the public eye. I'm just going home and taking care of my kids. I'd love to see more George Farmer. Honestly, I'd love to see more of what that guy has to say about stuff. He seems like a very bright guy. I'd love for them to kind of swap places.
And me too.
Hear more what he has.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Candace and George, look, you have me and Steph's support. I know. George has said he's read a couple of my books. We love you guys. Just let's just do a total life cleanup. We've supported the good things that both of you are saying intermittently throughout the years. But how about, well, let's have a Candace George swap. I'd love to see more George. Love to see less Candace. How base would it be if Candace said, "Look, so I'm leaving Daily Wire. I'm going to go home, focus on wife stuff, But take two of these, peace. I'm becoming a Catholic because my husband's Catholic and because it's the one true faith. And I'm going to follow the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which says a woman should love to be at home and support whatever her husband's doing. And that would be the most amazing mic drop of all time. A very talented, smart woman, but talented, smart women belong at home. I mean, just like all the other women. And you can be talented and smart and help George plan stuff out. That would be so, so cool. And George is a very smart guy. He's a very, very cool, smart guy. I've heard nothing but the best. And I'd love to meet him someday.
And so, I'd say it's the agenda of some of the people that she's critiquing to get women out of the home. So right. I'd just be like, what better way to just to complete that circle for her to just be like, yeah, I'm out. Peace out.
Yeah. Take two of these and call me in the morning. I was thinking of going, you know, I'm being courted by all these online sites, but I mean, that was the best thing. We encourage you. We support you. That couple, a little bit younger than us. Just go home. Enjoy each other. Make your family strong. Don't have to suffer all the haters all day long, every day. Let George do that. Support him. You guys can idiot together because she's a smart woman. It's what Steph and I do. Me and Steph idiot together. She helps me cook this stuff up. You can ask Nick Stumphauser. He's over here half the time now that he lives here too. We're kind of cooking up ideas as she's cooking up dinner. And I benefit so much from it. Now that Candace is in a transition mode, it would be the most based 1-2-2-3 punch to be like leaving Daily Wire, right? You know, Christ is King, and it's kind of related to that, it seems to be. And thirdly, I'm leaving for home. You know, I'm leaving for home. I'm going to chill at home. You know, George, anything I want to say, I'll just sort of, me and George will massage it, and maybe he should start talking on the daily. I would love that. But we love you guys. It's constructive criticism. You're both smart. You're smart as a couple. That's a little model from Tim and Steph Gordon, for whatever it's worth. That's what we say. And become a Catholic. Become a Catholic. Become a Catholic. Become a Catholic. Say it with me. Christ is King. Become a Catholic. Got to do it. This is what I was hitting up Rollo and Tim Pool. I mean, Tim Pool said, Rollo, are you a Christian? And Rollo said, yeah. I'm like, okay, let's do it together. Let's make all the United States Catholic. Let's make all the world Catholic. I know I'm not holding my breath till it happens, but Christ is King. Let's not have this weird Hegelian paradigm, weird dialectic, where the only people that say it boldly are people that kind of mean it, or they mainly just want to troll. And the main people that believe Christ is King are afraid to say it. I'm not saying that aptly describes exactly what's going on, but sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like that to me.
I mean, we have Christians that won't even say true things. It's like they won't sacrifice for Christ. That's where we're at. That is where we're at. Like, am I supposed to believe these people are going to give up their life, their possessions, their comfort for Christ? They won't even.
But yeah, that's, I'm sorry. That's just right. Rollo barely disagreed with me. Self-preservation. I mean, that's what it was. And I'd love to have, okay, look, man, that's cool. I like doing stuff. I like being politic too. I like making friends. That's great. I kept trying to pick a fight the first half. It wasn't going to work. The only person that really wanted to debate was Tim the first half. I want to do let's do another debate. We focused on, there is maybe a little more overlap than I acknowledged at first. Yeah, I'm not one of the trad cons or conservative feminists or whatever, of course. Now he acknowledges that. There's three parties to this debate. There's the red pill. There's the trad cons, which are just conservative feminists, who I disagree with a lot too. And Rollo now knows that. Then there's the patriarchists. Only one of them can be right. It's patriarchy. And patriarchy just means the two modes of Christianity, clerical and lay. So I want to have that debate. We already focused on where we agree a lot. Got into a little disagreement that I was trying to cook up. But let's focus now, especially surgically, laser focused on where we disagree, because that's where we figure stuff out. That's where I was prepared with all these syllogisms. You guys know I enter into all these debates with syllogisms. I was going to surgically piece apart the areas where I disagree with the red pill guys. I mean, literally propositional proofs and stuff. Yeah, we agree. Feminists are bad. We agree. Christianity has been infiltrated. We agree, but we need to figure this out. But I did appreciate both Tim and Rollo, and was It was not a bad time. It was a pretty good time. We had some sushi afterwards at the castle. They were playing poker. I was thinking about playing, but I'm like, I'm going to peace out. Me and Nick went and walked around Washington, D.C., and, you know, it was cool. So I'll be on Avoiding Babylon with more details on the thing, more post-mortem tomorrow. I really barely did any post-mortem on the actual claims being made. I'm saving that for Anthony Abate because he's been a very good friend, one of the true blue kind of influencers in the trad world, and I appreciate that. So it'll be fun tomorrow to go see Anthony and Rob too. Christ is King. Boom. Love you guys. It's Holy Monday. Get yourself to confession. And, if you're like me and you go to the Novus Ordo and you don't always receive the Eucharist, remember it is a canonical requirement that the Catholic receive Eucharist at least once during Lent. That's important for those of us who go to the Novus Ordo and more often than the TLM and don't receive. Got to make sure you receive this week if you haven't received over the last few weeks. And definitely get to confession. Definitely get to confession this week. Deus vult. Christ is King.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit.